It is disappointing that what we were given as an indicative sum for local transport boards has actually been reduced. We were told something that was around about 13 to 14 million, and actually what we've got is about 8.5.
Which is very disappointing.
Well, it is, yeah.
Sure, but what can we do with that £8 million?
Well, I think that depends. Firstly, I think that it's really important that the LEP is involved, and indeed, so is the Local Nature Partnership and the Health and Wellbeing Board, because they are all structures, you know, organisations that are there to thread together packages of funding against sets of criteria, basically playing the funding game, isn't it?
So it's possible you might get more, you might get some top-up funds?
We've got an 8.5 million stake, which enables us to go bidding against other people, against criteria, in order to be able to produce transport outcomes.
So what will those criteria be? What are your priorities?
Well, that depends. I mean, Cornwall is in the unique and privileged position of being a structural funds region, and therefore we will be able, within the limitations of the criteria of the new convergence programme, which may well be quite limited in terms of transport infrastructure, we will be able to be bidding into that, as indeed we have done in the past. What we've now got is an 8.5 million stake of government capital we can use according to our priorities. The outcomes will be affected as a result. I mean, you're not going to see mega schemes coming from this. What you might see is a good variety of schemes, particularly schemes that are looking at the future development and evolution of transport infrastructure.
It's early days, I know, but what do you expect your priorities to be? I mean, are you specifically in favour of dualling the whole of the A30?
That's a moot question, really. We're beginning to see, you know, some facing up to realities about resource depletion, you know, materials and fuel, about the need to clean up the planet, and also the need to bring technology and transport together in order to produce more efficient and outcome-driven transactions.
So with respect, it doesn't sound as if business in Cornwall can expect much improvement to the infrastructure.
Well, hang on. What are we going to look at is what I'm driving at here. Now, it may be that in the longer-term strategic picture, that producing a dualling of the A30 all the way down is not the best use of the money if you look at how your transport infrastructure is going to evolve over the next, say, 30 years. So if you look at Cornwall and where it is, it's a long way from most places. It's got very highly developed technological infrastructure. We've got the new broadband project and so on. We are a community which is entirely reliant on importing food and commodities on a daily basis. With the convoy coming down the A30 is huge. That's a significant social and economic factor in looking at how we manage the future and our infrastructure. How will we move goods around in 10, 15, 20, 30 years' time, if we've got to reduce carbon, if materials and fuels are depleting, if, as of yet, we haven't seen any alternative fuels that are likely to keep things moving, costs of that trucked convoy every night are rising even as we speak. So, therefore, it behoves us to look at the potential for evolving the railway, which moves a lot of stuff around with a great deal less energy expended, and to look at shipping, because we're in a good position, because most of Cornwall is surrounded by the ocean. So we've got more than just roads to look at. It's not to say that we're not looking at roads. We've got an innovative scheme which is outside of the LTP to look at the dualling of the A30 at Temple. I wonder whether in the strategic picture that will emerge over the next, say, 15 to 20 years, whether priorities around having dual carriageways and motorways will be quite so great as they seem to be at the moment.
Well, that's interesting, because so many people have said to us that dualling that A30 is absolutely key to getting away from Cornwall's isolationism.
I don't think Cornwall is isolationist, but I do think Cornwall is isolated, or at least I think Cornwall has been isolated. I mean, I've just come from a conversation with the manager of the ACT Now project, which is about it putting in broadband infrastructure, which will serve roughly 90 to 95% of people in Cornwall by the time we get to the end of the convergence programme in 2015.
But it doesn't move goods.
But no, it doesn't move goods, but it completes an awful lot of transactions that at the moment and in the past people have moved around in order to do. It doesn't move goods, no, but I mean, you know, the truck, as an environmental impact, as a consumer of resources and so on, and as an efficient way of moving things around, is not necessarily going to be the best way to do things moving forward. So by the time it becomes possible to develop schemes to completely dual the A30, for instance, we may well find that priorities in terms of transport provision have changed quite significantly. Look at Scotland, for instance, where they're already moving things around by rail and boat to a far greater extent. This is supermarkets doing it. I mean, Cornwall is as far away from major distribution centres as is Scotland, and we have to face up to the facts of our peripherality. The other point I would make about business and perceptions of business is that with the broadband infrastructure, with the new technologies in which we are in the front line here, actually the idea of physical distance creating isolation is not the same as it was. Actually, in terms of business transactions, in terms of communication, in terms of information transfer and so on and so forth, Cornwall is as much a centre as anywhere else, as California or Stockholm or wherever. Cornwall is a place that is very, very alert to the debates around environmental sustainability. And people tend to live here because they want to act, not just because they want to worry. And so part of that action is as best they can to shift onto modes of transport which are more sustainable. Awful lot of people riding bikes these days.
It is, in the longer run, I guess, some would argue, both cheaper, more cost-effective, but also actually environmentally sounder to bring in some kind of cargo by air. What's the future for Newquay Airport, do you think, given Flybe's forced decision to sell off slots at Gatwick and to stop the service to Newquay?
The first thing to say, and this is my personal view, this is not a policy of the council as of yet, but if I get a chance to affect that, I will. And that is that I believe that Newquay Airport is part of the public transport infrastructure of Cornwall and that we should stop trying to foster this illusion that someday we're going to sell it off to the private sector at some time in the future.
So is it fair then that council taxpayers are subsidising?
I think it is because they get a benefit back from it. The role that the airport plays in the economy is quite significant. Not simply because of the number of people that come through. I accept that passengers have been declining, but we are living in a period of economic recession, so you'd expect that to be happening. But also the very fact that Cornwall's got an airport, which is operational, mm-hmm. is actually a key element of being able to say to people, why don't you do your business here? Why don't you come here? You know, you're connected with the world and
well,
so on.
Well, especially having lost Plymouth, of course.
I'm sorry that Plymouth has lost its airport, but, you know, I think the case about the private sector owning it is made by Plymouth, to be honest with you. The airport is a piece of our transport infrastructure. Services come and services go. Providers come and providers go. The council is committed with its airport company and within its own resources to sustain a degree of services there as best we can, working with the operators. Now, actually, Flybe are going, but we are actually talking to EasyJet to develop a replacement range of services. Now, I would hope that in undertaking that, one, that we realise that yes, the airport plays a role in the visitor trade. Equally, it plays a role, which is not huge but very, very important, in facilitating business. And it's getting business people in and out of Cornwall at business-like times, which is at this moment our key challenge.
So despite the fall in passenger numbers, your view is that Newquay Airport is sustainable and essential?
Sitting in the world in which we live, which is mobile, which is interconnected, the global economy is a reality, the networks that you operate in the global economy are complex and they do require you to be able to engage in moving around the place. The airport is absolutely essential, yeah. And being seen to have an airport is essential if you're going to be seen to be competitive. I'm not making an argument that any businessman in Cornwall would not make. I mean, you can go to Bude and you can talk to companies in Bude that value the fact that they can bring clients into Newquay and they can do business with them and get them back to wherever this name would be. We've got people coming into Penwith to do business on software development who are coming over from California, from Disney. We've got people come from all over the world. We've got Swedish companies operating here who go up back to Stockholm for board meetings and get home for the evening and so on. And we are slotted into the modern economy.
So what do you say then to council taxpayers who say, that's all very well, understand the need for the airport, but why do I have to pay my council tax to support business in Cornwall?
The world is a complicated place. Private sector, voluntary sector and public sector, and they're not all independent from each other. They all interrelate. And the fact that we've got an economic regeneration going on in Cornwall is because of the engagement in the public sector in doing that. And actually, people pay their taxes to have a successful, healthy, safe and productive society. And the public sector's engagement in that, which we undertake through using taxes, is part of making that happen.
So that subsidy is money well spent.
In my view, yes, it is.